Welcome back to Digesting Dark, where we are tackling the Netflix series Dark one episode at a time. For this podcast, we watch the penultimate episode, season 3, episode 7 of Dark, The Between Time, and we are here to talk all about it. I am Zach Brooks, and I am joined by the Hannah Nielsen to my Celia Nielsen, Aaron Brooks.
Oh, hello. I am the mother to your daughter.
Yeah, well, I feel like the big one I have to save for the finale. So, I was trying to think of like other relationships. Can you think of a better one from this one? I guess I could have done Bartos to Noah, but I think we did that.
Yeah, I'm okay. I guess I'm okay being Hannah here, you know. R.I.P. Hannah.
Yeah, R.I.P. to you, yes. So, of course, we are going through Dark one episode at a time, discussing each episode with no future knowledge of the rest of the season. There's only one episode remaining, so we've not yet seen the finale. This is just through episode 7. And make sure you subscribe so you know when we release more podcasts, because we will have a finale podcast coming up. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, all those good ones. We also put these podcasts up on YouTube, so you can subscribe on there. And I'm sure we'll do some podcasts after we're done with the series as well. So make sure that you are subscribed, and that way you can see when new stuff comes up. You also can send us your feedback at digestingdarkpod@gmail.com and include the episode number, which I guess that it would only be episode 8, or just full feedback for the whole show. And I guess, talking about the email, we're planning on doing a feedback show between this episode and episode 8, but that would mean that we would have to wait a couple days to watch the next episode because we need to do the feedback show either tomorrow or Monday morning, and then we can watch the finale.
Yeah, and I am Mr., delayed gratification, savor the show, wait, take your time. It's kind of been one of the mission statements of the show, is
yes.
Take your time, savor it. It's not going to last forever. Obviously, there's one episode left. You know, why rush it? Why end it before you're ready? And on all those notes, I am not really a big fan of waiting much longer. I'd like for my paradise, since that's the name of the last episode.
Yes.
And paradise is brought up so much.
I'm disappointed the finale is called Paradise, by the way. But anyways, go ahead. Yes.
I love that it's called Paradise. So we differ there. Again, just like here. But yeah, my paradise is to actually maybe have a feedback episode when we, in like 6 months or a year, when we maybe do a revisit on the whole series.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, the thing that's guiding me in this case is my obsession with this show and how it ends, and this episode,
how it begins.
And this episode, which it had enough content to be a season in and of itself, I have to see it. I have to see that episode, and it's going to be hard for me to wait a couple of days. I love all the feedback from everybody from. Everybody who's written in feedback. It's been great, but I just think that maybe we need to revisit this idea of the feedback for our first visit here. It's kind of like maybe waiting to take notes till the second or third watch for me.
I take notes on the first watch, and then I watch it notesless on the second watch.
Yeah, and I do it the opposite way, where I just immerse myself in it the first time. So I find that when I start taking notes, I start taking notes on everything. So mm-hmm. I'm taking notes on the background. I'm pausing it. I'm almost writing out the whole script at some points, just because it's the dialogue's that important. There's almost no fat on the show. It's really amazing. Yet it's so enjoyable to watch still. It does not feel clinical. Yet, like I've said before, it really... The whole show just feels like the inner workings of a watch. Everything is where it's supposed to be. And it's just, so I wait till my second or third. So I think similarly, the feedback would be nicer on my second or third watch around of the series.
All right. So I get that. And so it's interesting the way that we look at this, because I'm like, I didn't even want to watch this episode, because I was like, well, if I watch this episode, then there's only one left. And I like am just loving this show so much. I love watching and not knowing where it's going. So, I'm all about like waiting as long as possible to watch the finale, because then once we watch the finale, like as far as we know, that's it. The show's done. But Yeah, so, you know, I get where you're coming from, and I want to savor this show as long as possible and delay it. And so that's why I had the idea for the feedback show. I also thought, like, other people might want to do that, but I do feel like the probably by me saying, oh, we should all hold off, like, listeners probably aren't holding off before they send in their feedback, so it's the problem with the Netflix model to begin with. Like, if this show was just week to week, we would have a whole week to talk about this episode and really get ready for the finale. But, you know, probably a lot of people who are listening have already finished the show completely because it's already been out. So I'm okay with not doing the feedback show so that you can watch the finale a bunch of times before we talk next. And we'll either do the finale podcast tomorrow or Monday. And we can just work in some of the feedback that we already have into this show, because I do have questions in this show. You know, I think maybe this could just be a little bit longer of a podcast where we can talk about, I have questions that are like some feedback questions I have, and then questions from listeners, and yeah, we can kind of work that in. Sure. And then you can, as soon as we hang up, you can start watching the finale, but you can't text me about it.
Yeah. I guess I don't even know. I wouldn't even say this is a hot take, but this may sound like a hot take when I say it. I enjoy these episodes more on the rewatch than the first watch.
They're so different. It's crazy. They're so different.
I enjoy that experience more. The rewatch experience.
I don't know which one I enjoy more. I really like rewatching seasons 1 and 2 because I understood more what was going on. And so I guess the first time watching it, I'm so like blown away and like my jaw's on the floor watching. And it's a little bit harder to kind of comprehend what I'm seeing versus when I watch it the second time, which usually it's like within an hour of finishing the first time, I can more be like, okay, this part is important. This part is important. And I'm curious how the whole third season will play, knowing where it all goes, especially like with a lot of the reveals that we have in this episode.
No, I really do feel like the rewatch experience is more enjoyable than if I had to say. Both are enjoyable in different ways. I just, obviously when you see things the first time and you have no idea where they're going, there's nothing quite like that. But it's almost like the surprises get flipped when you rewatch it and you're just like, oh, like
here's this thing that I did. Cause there were a bunch of things just in this episode I noticed the second time that I did not notice the first time. It's also different, I think, for us watching it and trying to take notes on it, because there will be little things that I miss. Cause I'm like looking down to write down a note or I'm pausing. Like, I mean, the amount of pausing, the one thing about this being that's nice that it's on Netflix is how much I can pause and rewind things. So I can rewatch whole scenes as I'm watching it to be like, wait, what did Claudia just say? Or, you know, so that's one of the reasons why it is helpful that it's on this platform.
Yeah. But I mean, it is a show that, I think, you know, this could be, I guess, a feedback type of, you know, comment, but if it was on HBO, it'd have a think about three times the acclaim. I really do, because I think it would have the space to work, but it may have been canceled after season 1 because people may not have
too convenient. I mean, I think the closest comparison to this is like Westworld, I guess. I mean, Lost, I think, is a good comparison as well, but Lost never got
Devs. I got a lot of Devs vibes.
See, this feels so much more rich than Devs did. I like Devs, but this just like Devs was. I mean, it didn't approach the level of complexity that this show does.
No, but it's thematically very similar.
Yeah, and this is thematically very similar to Lost Season 5 as well, specifically Lost Season 5, because that season has a little bit of time travel built into it. And there is one bootstrap paradox in that season. And this is like if they took the one Lost bootstrap paradox and made it the entire show and then built a bunch of alternate realities on top of that.
Yeah.
So, okay, so I guess the plan is that we will not do a feedback show in between episode 7 and episode 8. So on the re-listen to these podcasts, you're going to be able to listen to me talking about, stay tuned, we're going to have a feedback show coming between episode 7 and 8.
Still coming. So, still coming.
It's not coming. We will not wait 6 months to a year to do a feedback show, though. So we will do a feedback show after the finale, so still get that feedback in, both for the finale, if you've watched the finale, and then for our post-finale feedback show. Which, you know, maybe we'll wait like a week or so, maybe 2 weeks to do it until we get a good batch of emails and some good discussion and maybe had a chance to rewatch things or talk through some stuff.
Yeah, really what we've just realized is that the feedback show was never where it was supposed to be. It was not right where it was between 7 and 8.
Yes, exactly.
It was supposed to be later.
It was misplaced. It's perfect. The feedback show is just time traveling. To its rightful place, which is the end, which is also the beginning. So, exactly. And we will get into some pre-finale feedback in this show, the little bit that we have, and some of our own predictions and things like that towards the end of this podcast. So that is a lot of preamble to say. The next time you hear us after this, we will be done with the finale. We'll know how the whole series played out. Unless there happens to be another series coming out next year called Light, which is telling us some other world. It'd be wonderful if that was the case.
Yeah, or like a secret episode that they just no one's
talking about. Or a movie about. Or, yeah, something. And to get into the show overall, like, what a great show. It's how amazing that somebody was able to write this. I have no idea how you would even write this idea, like how you would come up with this.
Yeah, it's like a lifetime of existential pondering.
I mean, I don't know where you even start. I think that was my first question if I interviewed them. Is I was like, where did you start? Did you start and say this is going to be the story of, like, apparently the story of Claudia creating the paradise and manipulating everything?
Mm-hmm. Claudia knew all along.
Yeah.
It's all Claudia.
It's been Claudia. And I wondered, we had not seen old Claudia at all this season. I wondered if we were going to, and we got old Claudia for sure.
Yeah.
So I know you really liked two episodes ago. What was that episode? That was Life and Death. You said that was your favorite episode of the show so far. Is that still your favorite show? Does this one displace it?
This one is similar. I really, really liked it. But again, I think that I've said a few times, I really like when the stories get a little more small, personal, and emotional. And I felt like in 5, they're more focused on the micro, while this was really, really a big macro episode, which... again, it felt like a season's worth of content. It didn't feel quite completely overwhelming. In fact, I didn't feel overwhelmed even on the first watch.
No,
and I definitely,
it was
once
so much.
I got through a second, but I don't think it needed to be its own season. I think it would have gone very redundant. A lot of the messages would have really worn thin. Mm-hmm. I think even some of the things we're finding in this season with the show, when we hear some of the things we hear over and over, like, even while I'm hearing everything is the end is the beginning is the end, as much as I'm hearing that, like, it's starting to, the paradise being brought up so much. So imagining having another season condensed with that much of that, I don't think was necessary. So for this was just another example of me, of like the masterwork of the show, to be able to pull off that much content, make it work, make it so you're able to digest it and still kind of not quite be sure where the conclusion's headed.
Yeah, that was like the conclusion I really came to with this too, that this one was so much, this episode had so much in it, but it actually made sense. It was very confusing, but it also, I got it. I understood where things were going. I felt like they did enough prep work so that, you know, when we see Bartosz and Celia seeing each other for the first time, especially because we've gone through and we knew that Celia was going to end up being Bartosz's wife and the mother of Hannah, or the mother of Agnes and Noah, that when we saw that, it was like you can start connecting those dots even before the characters do. So yeah,
and that was like that's one of my favorite parts of the that scene is one of my favorite scenes of the episode.
Where they meet, sure. Or when she has the baby?
When they meet, and then when she has the baby. And just Bartosz, I don't want to spoil my MVP, but he's going to be my MVP of this episode.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I loved what he did in this episode.
Well, you know, this makes sense. We can do the end at the beginning. So your MVP is Bartosz. Also, the thing I love the most about Bartosz is the fact that we've been calling him Bartosz, and it's Bartosz. And, you know, I know we script a lot of people's pronunciations of their name, but I actually think Bartosz is like an awesome name. Like, I prefer that pronunciation to Bartosz.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right. Well, so my MVP is going to go to Claudia. And she's been masterful before, behind everything. She murdered her alternate self. She possibly tricked Eve, although I think we can get into that. I'm not sure if she actually did trick Eve. But it seems like, you know, if we have the story of Adam and Eve, and who is the third character in the story of Adam and Eve, it is the snake who gives Eve all of the fruit, that gives her all of the information and opens her eyes and is the original sin. I think that Claudia is the snake. And not necessarily a bad way, but Claudia lines up with that snake.
So what was her original sin? She was what would her original sin be?
Who? Eve's, well, the in the I don't know. I think we'll find that out. But I think the, you know, in the story of Adam and Eve, and, you know, again, we're not biblical scholars, but Eve is in the Garden of Eden and the snake gives her the piece of forbidden fruit and she eats the fruit. And then that fruit has, I think the fruit is from the tree of knowledge. And so she gains knowledge that otherwise they were born, you know, Adam and Eve were created by God and they were, they did not know, you know, that's like why they're naked and they don't realize that they're naked and they don't know what is going on around them. And Eve created the, or the snake changed things so that Eve had her eyes open. And I think possibly what we're seeing is not only this is Claudia's story, but Claudia is actually opening Eve's eyes. So, and Claudia lines, I think Claudia lines up with the snake. And I don't know if the snake has a name in the story of Adam and Eve. It might, but you know, it's not Claudia isn't the name, but maybe there's there, maybe there's some other tie there.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's fair. Mine, once again, it makes sense. I go with like, I went with the moment when he realizes that Celia is going to name the kid Hanno. He's heard that name before. He knows that's who's going to kill him. Like, it's just like,
well, no, he kills, oh no, you're right. Yeah. Yep.
That's
yep.
what I'm saying. Yep. Like, it's just like the mind fuck that that is in that moment. He knows he's fucked. And yet there's nothing he can do to change it. He's just this pawn. Like, he's not really, he's really not that valuable. I just, it's the, again, it's like the, it's like when the player who has the best moments in the season ends up getting the MVP. Like,
right.
he had my, the best moment to me, that realization. And then the second time when it hits around, you know, later we'll talk about with Agnes too. Mm-hmm. So. Just
And yeah, I think it's, it'll be interesting to talk through, like, what does he actually know? Obviously, he worked with Noah in the first season, who was, you know, that there's a great, so much great parallels there with, like, his son is a father figure to him. He's a father figure to his son. He's killed by his son at the beginning of the second season. And just what a role that, that he plays in some of the relationships as well. So, like, you know, that Bartosz is Noah's father and Noah is the father of Charlotte. And just kind of looking at some of these relationships that we didn't know the first time that really opens up. So, and the significance of Celia, we see Celia at the end of season one and we know is she's Scarface. We called her Scarface until like two episodes ago. So I think that adds something as well. And I agree with you about the micro moments in this that were really powerful. In addition to the Bartosz and Celia stuff, I really, really liked everything we saw with Noah and Charlotte.
Yeah, that was great.
Or Noah and Elizabeth and Charlotte. Like the moments with them, them together and as you're watching Noah grow older and those two fall in love and then lose their baby and then everything between him and Adam. I just thought, you know, Noah also really could have gotten an MVP for this episode because I think Noah was really, really great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All versions of Noah. Which might be, I think I have some theories on how many versions of Noah we have as well. So,
okay.
All right. Well, that actually was one of the questions I had written down for you was, do you have a favorite character arc to watch throughout this? And it sounds like it was Bartosz.
Yep. Bartosz.
And I also wrote down the, you know, they keep talking about the knot, that there's the knot that needs to stay tied or untying the knot. And I just think that, you know, that metaphor of the knot is so interesting and works so well for this show because that's really what this is. We're watching a whole bunch of storylines, a whole bunch of bootstraps all knotted together and complex. And if you think about trying to untie a knot, you really have to work it from the inside out and undo the knot.
Yeah. And there's multiple knots here. It's not just one. Everybody has their own knot.
Yes. That was the other thing too that I noticed is in the last episode, Eve talked about the switch. And so we have the switch where a decision is made and that creates alternate paths. So what we had seen in the last one was that there was a decision of Martha showing up at Jonas's house and saving him before the apocalypse comes through. Mm-hmm. And then one, it's like a choose your own adventure point. So for Jonas, that switch point, either he gets taken to the alternate world and gets killed by Martha, or he stays he's in the basement and he ends up getting older in after the apocalypse, going back in time, becoming the stranger and then becoming Adam. So that's kind of the two different paths that Jonas can take. In one path, Jonas dies. In the other path, we don't yet know, but he's Adam and we see him at the end of the episode.
Yep, and he sees himself at the end of episode two.
Right. We also see Martha taking... Martha also, we see her switch point. So that, it seems like that switch point is when Bartosz shows up behind her. So it wasn't just that she goes back to save Jonas or she doesn't go back. She always goes back to save Jonas. Mm-hmm. It's then a matter of, does Bartosz show up from the alternate world to tell her not to go? And if he tells her not to go, then Jonas still goes on his path to become the Stranger, become Adam. And Martha is brought back to Eve, and Martha gets the scar on her face and then ends up killing Jonas. So, and then there's another version of Martha where she goes back, she saves Jonas, she takes him to the alternate path, and that alternate path leads to her being captured by Adam in the future, and we don't know what happens to her. Maybe killed, but maybe sent to somewhere else through that path, mm-hmm. and having the baby taken out of her.
Yeah.
So I think that's all the different switch points that we have for Martha and Jonas, correct?
That's all the ones that I can think of, yeah.
Okay, so it's basically, if you boil it down, we have Jonas lives and becomes Adam, and Martha dies, potentially. Or Martha lives, becomes Eve, and Jonas dies, definitely. Mm-hmm. I think that's the two different switches that we have, although there might be more. Now, one thing that actually just came to me, and we haven't even gotten through getting into the episode, but I think this is all stuff we got to talk about up top. The version of this path where Martha is saved by Bartosz and goes back and gets the scar on her face, is she pregnant with the seed still? I guess she would
have. That was after they had slept together, so yeah.
Right, because it's after she's already met Jonas, but Jonas always has to go back. So in that version, Jonas always has to go back.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, I would think so.
So I guess it's like there's one path where she saves Jonas, brings him back. That always has to happen in order to get her pregnant, in order for her to go back to try to save him, for Bartosz to stop her, for Eve to give her the scar, for her to have the baby. So I think that's the only way that that works, is that's how that she can still have the baby and Adam isn't successful in destroying the baby, I guess.
Yep.
So
I think that works.
So it's
unless we get some new information here in the last episode.
Wow. Yeah. And then this is stuff I'm just in my head piecing this together. I had not thought about that as I was watching it. I just was thinking about the switch points. Mm-hmm. Do you think that there are any other switch points that we haven't seen yet, or character? Does every character have a switch point where something happens and things can go one way or the other?
Yeah, I think that's even stated earlier in the season.
That everybody has a moment where they like decide something?
Yeah, everybody has certain moments in their life that explicitly change who they are or something to that effect is said.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'd have to look back through my notes, but yeah.
I think Katarina has a point, Ulrich, yeah. I do think everybody has their point.
Do you think Claudia's point was murdering her alternate self?
Yep.
So maybe there's a world where she doesn't murder her alternate self, and then there's two Claudias. That might explain how there's still a Claudia, because what we don't know is how there's a Claudia at the end of this episode, unless that's Claudia before Noah has murdered her.
That's Claudia before. I think that's who she is.
Okay, so you think this is Claudia before Noah's murdered her, so when we see her at the end and Noah kills her, she's already accomplished a whole bunch of stuff that we're going to see in
that's
the next episode?
That's why she's totally, yes, that's why she's totally okay dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can almost guarantee that's what it's going to be.
Okay, that would make sense. And I guess another character, actually, as I think about it, is HG as well. Mm-hmm. It seems like the switch point for HG is receiving baby Charlotte.
Yep.
Because the version of HG that we saw at the beginning of this episode, and I guess this is a good way to kind of get into the beginning of this episode, is that we have an opening with like a scientific professor talking about Schrodinger's cat, which I've heard a lot about Schrodinger's cat before and never quite had it understood. I don't know if I still quite get it. The idea of Schrodinger's cat. Do you understand Schrodinger's cat?
Yeah, it's basically that there's a box. I'd never seen it with all these other components in it. I've basically known it as a box where there's a cat in it, where if you open the box, it kills the cat. But if you keep the box closed, you don't know whether the cat's alive or dead. So therefore, the cat is both simultaneously. in the quantum.
Okay, I think that's how I've heard it too.
And then they add, I think they just added the Geiger and the radiation parts, just add a little more like subtext, context, dark.
Yeah.
And the poison
dark,
as well.
Dark flavor. A little dark flavoring. Yeah, exactly.
I'm curious if the poison will come into play at some point, because we haven't had any poison in this show yet. And that would be, poison would be very Shakespearean.
Mm-hmm.
If there's poison that plays into the finale.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's talking. I also noticed that the aspect ratio in this is different. So for the first time in this show, we're getting a much more widescreen. I don't know, you know, I don't know exactly what the dimensions are, but their black bars are much thicker on the top and the bottom in all of these HG scenes. So what that indicates to me is that this is a different world. This might be that third reality.
Yeah, that's what I thought right away.
Yeah, because we've seen, you know, the mirroring showing the alternate and the regular, and then I think that this different aspect ratio is signifying different worlds. So I definitely am, when I'm watching the finale, and maybe if I rewatch any of the show, notice if they notice any parts where the aspect ratio is different, but I've never noticed this super widescreen before.
Yeah, and then it talks about how different realities can be side by side, and shows three boxes next to each other.
Oh, it's three boxes next to each other.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and then so then from there we get to we see Martha outside of Jonas's house, and this is where we get the split, and it runs through the two realities: one where Martha goes in, and another where Bartosz stops Martha from going in, and says that he knows the origin and how to save her. This is
Jonas's fault.
Yes, this is Jonas's fault. This is the alternate version of Bartosz. This is the one, not the one who we're going to see throughout this episode. This is the one from the alternate world, dressed like the Uncharted guy. So he's got the tan jacket on, and and he's there to stop Martha from going into the house, which in turn will end up creating Adam, because he does that.
Yep.
So
and Bartosz asks him to trust him. Again, like, that's come up a lot.
So. Mm-hmm. So once again, we are going back to what we had from the very beginning of this show, which is Bartosz and Jonas and Martha in a love, in basically some sort of triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get lots of clocks. So after the intro, and we have lots of clocks ticking. We get the year now, and it's a nice effect that they use with the year in this episode, because we're going through so many different time periods. We're jumping through hundreds of years, basically, that it's very helpful that they just have the year in like huge font, almost like it like changes like a clock would. I'm imagining like the clock from Groundhog Day, like the panels that flip down that way, that it flips down. So we're in 1974, and I wrote down, is this HG? Yes, it is HG. Mm-hmm. And this is him in between the 50s when we've seen him in the 80s. And this is him shortly after he had lost his child, or his son and his daughter-in-law and their child. And they died on August 11th, 1971. We see their grave with all three of them on there. Mm-hmm. And their baby daughter was named Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And he says, one holds on to events that are long gone. And there's talk of how you can reverse death. And after he sees the grave, he goes to the bunker. And he says that you create a new reality when in between time to reverse death. When there's in between time to reverse death. And so that was 1971 when the deaths happened.
Yep.
So in this world, I mentioned the HG switch point. I think this is another switch point for HG, is him not receiving the baby from Charlotte and Elizabeth after his son. Because he said in the last episode, or maybe two episodes ago, to younger Charlotte, that the night that his son and daughter-in-law died, a baby was brought to his doorstep.
Yep.
He is not acting in this anamorphic widescreen world like somebody who has a child that he's taking care of.
Yep.
So it seems like the switch point happens for HG, that if he receives the baby, then his attention is focused on raising Charlotte. And if he doesn't receive the baby, his attention is focused on building the machine that he's going to build in the bunker.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, HG is going to play a big role in the finale.
Yep. I'm trying to throw it out.
Yeah. Did you notice also that with the grave, he puts a toy down next to Charlotte's name?
Yeah, like a red, like, bunny or something.
Right. I don't know if it was just a callback to what Jonna does, but that's what Jonna does for Mads at his grave.
Yeah, no, I noticed that, yeah.
Yep. And the The church is there in the background. So, you know, whatever this world is, whether this that is paradise, this world with HG, I don't think we quite know, but definitely more to see on that front.
Yeah, I agree.
So then we go to 2021, and we have the caves. We have Elizabeth and Noah. They are digging through the passage. They find the door. I guess this is the Sigmundes door, right? You don't have any reason to think that this would be the Let There Be Light version of the door?
No, I believe it's the Sigmundes door.
Okay. Yeah, they don't show it, so I wondered if maybe that was what they might have been setting up, but it doesn't seem like it, because they're not in the alternate world. Mm-hmm. And Elizabeth is looking at the pocket watch. I'm a little confused on where the pocket watch goes and how it gets passed along, because I know the older Noah gives Elizabeth that pocket watch in the first season, mm-hmm. and I know that watch gets passed around. The old man in the carriage has it at one point in this season, the newer version of it, the one that says Charlotte. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's, you know, since it's a watch, it probably was created by HG at some point, and that was the origin of it.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah, it's, and let's see. So then Elizabeth asked Noah to tell her about paradise again, which is, we'll see them talking about paradise, having this conversation a few times during this episode. Noah says that it's free of pain and suffering. All the pain we felt is erased. All the dead are alive. He says Adam will keep his promise.
Yep, the passageway is opened.
And they start working on getting the passageway open. So I guess did the idea of paradise, like where did the idea of paradise come from? Do you have any sense of that?
Well, it's the first time it's introduced to us is by Elizabeth in season two.
In season two. So in the future Elizabeth in season two.
Yeah.
Okay. Which she obviously learned about it from Noah. And it seems like Noah learned about it from Adam, and maybe Adam learned about it from Claudia.
Mm-hmm.
Cause
yeah,
I think,
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Everybody seems like they're chasing after this, this paradise. So then we have the 1980s. We have the stranger testing the machine, and he gets I did notice with the machine that it's got three towers that make it work. I think I'd never really noticed that before. So nice way to include three. And one of the towers isn't working, so of course the stranger goes up there to try to fix it, and he gets zapped on the arm by it, and it cuts through his protective clothing.
Yep.
And I noted here, I said, where are the teens? So Bartosz is back. He's in the room, but where are Magnus and Franziska?
Yeah, good question.
They were missing for the entire episode. We didn't see them once.
Yeah.
So it makes me think, and we did see them. I felt like in season two, they kind of seemed like they were glaring at each other about some stuff. Like they seemed like they might not have totally been working with Adam when like they send him back. And then at the end of the season, I remember noting that it was kind of weird that they started up that portal at the end of the finale when the apocalypse is starting in the future. They started up the portal in 21, but it wasn't really clear what they were doing. And maybe they were going to the future, but I think that it's odd that they were not in this episode at all.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that I would not be surprised if they've been working with Claudia.
Ah.
They have to have some role that they're doing.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, I think that we didn't notice them, but it also seems like Adam doesn't seem to notice that they're not there. Or Jonas, I guess, you know, whatever you want to call him.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bartosz mentions that they've been there for 2 years, that they've been in the past for 2 years. And he accuses Jonas of never actually wanting to go back. And Jonas explains that we can use the portal to erase the origin. That is paradise. Bartosz says he doesn't want paradise. He just wants to go back.
He just wants out.
Yeah.
Kind of something a lot of characters have said at different points.
Right. Yep. And Jonas being accused of not wanting to go back or wanting to go back. Martha accuses him of that in the alternate world, but he didn't actually want to stay in the alternate world. He wanted to go back to his own world.
Yep.
And it's, I think, you know, it's unclear for us. It's probably unclear for Jonas even. What does he even want at this point? I guess, is he just trying to go back to prevent himself from becoming Adam and killing Martha?
Yeah. I guess.
Yeah, because Adam says you'll carry this pain with you. And this character has carried the pain with him. And obviously doesn't know, he doesn't know anything about the alternate worlds at this point either, I don't think.
Not according to the characters either, yeah.
Well, no, I guess this, maybe he does, because Martha showed up with the black goo. So maybe he does know that. I guess maybe he does know it's alternate worlds.
But they think he doesn't still?
I think it's, well, this is after the stuff that we see with Adam and Claudia, or with Jonas and Claudia in the future. So at that point, there's a point where Claudia says that Jonas doesn't know about the other worlds. I think that at that point, it actually is true that that version of Jonas does not know that other worlds exist. But okay. I think the first time he learns about other worlds is when Martha shows up, the alternate world Martha shows up there. I think that's when he first learns about it, that we know of. Now, maybe there's other stuff we haven't seen and we're going to see in the next episode.
Yeah, well, only one more episode.
Yep. So then we see Celia. She is showing up in the past. She's burying the yellow radiation suit, although doesn't do a very good job burying it, but
they never do.
Yeah. I wrote down that it still doesn't look like she has the scar. Now, I think it's just I just think it's like inconsistent makeup with her scar, because yeah,
she has it as a kid.
Yeah, exactly. We find out later that she has it as a child. So, unless the only thing I can think of is maybe there's an alternate world version of Celia, and the alternate world version of Celia doesn't have the scar, much like Martha. But I think it's probably more that it's just that the makeup is inconsistent.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. So did you know immediately when we see her that her and Bartosz are going to meet and this is going to be their origin of falling in love?
I kind of had to. It reminded me, like, kind of similar to Alexander being in the right place, right time with Gina. Meeting in the woods, like, that's exactly true. When she needed to, because he was losing faith and, like, getting ready to leave and everything.
Wow, that's a great connection, because that's Bartosz's parents. Mm-hmm. So,
yep.
Oh, I did not think about that. I didn't even think about Alexander at all in this episode until just now.
Yeah.
Alexander is definitely sent by, if Claudia is in this third world trying to change things, that's where Alexander must have come from, I bet. Because he knows Claudia, he knows to look for Claudia immediately.
Yep. And this Claudia doesn't know who he is, though. But he knows who she is.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's another, I wrote down some stuff that we didn't see in this that I'm like, these are still some open things. I think Alexander is there's a big flashing nuclear sign around Alexander. We got to find out more about him.
We will.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I really have faith that everything is going to tie up really well.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the start of the romance between Bartosz and Celia. And we go forward to 2023 now. And at this point, I was like, oh, man, this is great. We're just going to be jumping. Like, we're just jumping to the important moments and, like, filling in the gaps of things, as they said in the last episode. And this, I was just really, really excited that we were finally getting so much context around some stuff that we'd seen. So we're going to see now what happens between 2020 and 2053. I don't think there was much of a pattern to what years we jumped around to, though. It was just kind of to have different placeholders at different times throughout these years. Is that how you felt, too?
Yeah.
So in 2023, Jonas and Claudia, they're looking at that light particle that we did see that in a previous episode. We saw them talking about that. They're running experiments there. They're then cleaning off the nuclear suits. It was like a new set where they were doing this. It was a very bright room that had been burnt out. It looked like it had been burnt out from the explosion. I don't know if this was just like another part of the nuclear plant. Could you tell at all what this was?
No, but I kind of know it's the same thing. I think it's just kind of been an effect of the experiments.
Maybe. Right. It would be cool if that was like Claudia's old office. Like if they were in a spot and like there were a couple clues to like where they were, but looks totally different. Like, you know, if this was like where Claudia used to be or something like that in the power plant. And Claudia says they can start the experiments the next day. It's going to work. She tells Jonas, do not lose your faith. Of course, you know, Claudia is working under the direction of her alternate universe person that's working with her. And she has been for a few years. Jonas says he can't do this anymore. And he's just fed up. The experiments aren't working. He has lost his faith, like what she told him not to do. He returns back to his home. He goes up to the attic and looks at the the ceiling post where Michael killed himself and hung himself. And I wrote in my notes, who's going to stop him from killing himself? Because somebody does. Mm-hmm. But he tries to hang himself. He actually like got far enough along that I thought maybe he actually was going to succeed. Because it looked like he almost, you know, like he when he fell, it's like that he broke his neck type thing, it looked like.
Mm. Yeah, no, I never thought. I was never worried.
Yeah. Jonas tying the rope to the radiator is one of the shots from the intro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wondered when we were going to see that rope in the radiator. It looked like it was somebody being tied to the radiator based on the way it was like the kaleidoscope effect.
I do think there's been subtle changes to the opening as the season's gone. So
anything in particular that you noticed?
Definitely that the fire's gone from engulfing the pictures and the portraits to going away from the pictures and the portraits.
Oh, all right.
I noticed Martha on like the sides a lot more. I don't know if that's been there the whole time.
Yeah, I noticed Martha on the sides as well, and I thought that might be different.
Yeah. I feel like there's less birthing imagery than earlier in the season. Mm. So I think things, instead of going away from each other, are starting to go in towards each other and complete each other as opposed to diverge from each other. Mm. Yeah, I think I wish there was like a YouTube person out there who just like spliced together all 8 of them to play simultaneously so that you could really spot the differences, because there are differences.
I bet there is. You just can't look it up until after you watch the finale.
Yeah.
And if there isn't, somebody should create that and send it to us.
Yeah, but I really do think there's differences. Yeah.
I'd be curious to watch each season too. And see, I mean, obviously the intro is different between the seasons. I'd love to watch the different ones and see what's featured. There are certain things I can remember. Like for some reason, the scene of Trante taking off his underwear in the season 2 one is like really stands out to me. I think it's just because it was like the one thing I could like tell what that was.
Yeah.
All right. So, so he tries to hang himself. Noah barges in the door and cuts the rope down and saves him. And this is young Noah. And Noah says, Adam made a promise so that all of us could be saved. And he says, you can't kill himself. Time won't permit. Noah gives Adam a gun. Gives Jonas a gun. It's getting hard to keep their names straight. Especially as he's becoming Adam. Gives Jonas a gun. Jonas tries to shoot himself like 6 or 7 times, and the gun won't go off. But then when Noah shoots the gun at the wall, it goes off. So it was loaded, and literally fate was intervening to prevent him from killing himself. And Noah said, that's because you can't die, because your older version exists, and he's the one who sent me here.
Yeah, and it's, you know, very similar to how Noah sees his end eventually with the gun jamming when he tries to shoot Adam.
Oh, good point. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
I think that same gun, to be honest with you.
It might be. I can't remember which guy.
It looked like the Luger. It looked like the same type of gun. And why wouldn't it just be that same gun?
Yeah, because I thought that would be a good note. I thought this was the first time that we've seen like fate intervene and not let a paradox happen. Cause otherwise this whole show is paradoxes. I mean, you know, like fate should not allow Charlotte to be her own grandmother. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that for some reason with Adam, that fate is intervening and not letting Adam die. So then, Noah says, and I guess maybe like the younger version of Noah, we could call Hanno as well, sort of like how all these characters have different names at different points. We have, you know, we have Jonas, the stranger, we have Adam. I guess if we call young Noah Hanno, then Hanno says that they found the passage and that Jonas must keep his promise. And he tells him, it will open and Adam will take us to paradise. Hanno says to Jonas, he said we'll be friends before you betray me. And
plants the seed, probably.
Right, and that was his older self, I believe. Mm-hmm. So his older self told him this. And I was trying to remember when Hanno and Jonas have interacted. Obviously, the older versions of them will interact. And then I was remembering that Jonas woke up in Erna's house, and Hanno was in the room. Mm-hmm. So speaking of Hanno, we now get to see his birth in 1904. Celia gives birth to a boy, and this is the moment you brought up earlier. Bartosz is there, and they say, "What do you want to name the baby?" And she says, "It's Hanno." And right then we hear HG's narration. He says, "Fate plays a cruel trick on us." And Bartosz has a look in his eyes, like he realizes the role that he has played in this whole thing.
Yeah, and like he honestly thought he had found love, something he'd been wanting for the whole show. And then he just realized she's just playing her role, and she was just there, and none of it was really real. But he's stuck in it now. Like, it's just realizing it's all like all a falsity, and that he's just a pawn. And it just goes back to when they've talked about how Bartosz never quite gets the game, gets the role he plays in it. It's just like kind of typical Tiedemans. They're involved way more than they realize. And it's probably all because Claudia is the main
puppet master.
Yeah. And it's costing all of their family the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That Claudia's actions with all of this has always had an effect on her family. She killed her father. She, was not there for her daughter. And now if she sent Bartosz down this path where he's going to have his heart broken and his world's broken because of her actions, potentially, that it's like she has these selfish actions all for this greater cause.
Yep.
So, yeah. I did note, I said, I wonder if he knew, if he knew who Noah was at this point. And I was trying to remember kind of what his interaction with Noah had been. And I did remember, obviously, the back of the car that he's working with Noah when he was a teenager, who gave him, and Noah always had information about the future that he was telling him things.
Yep.
Then we get the montage of HG in the bunker in 1974. And we get some monologue to go with it. He says, "We can turn the tides if we want it hard enough. And man can pursue any goals if he works hard enough, can work a lifetime for his goals. That's what differentiates us from animals, because we can have long-term versus animals only can see in the short term." And we see HG building out a machine in the bunker over the years, and he's turning more and more looking like the older gray version of HG that we saw, we saw during the first season. And he says, "We can only let up once we reach our goals." And this was where I noticed that I said he's working an awful lot on this, and it doesn't seem like he has Charlotte around at all.
Yep. This becomes his obsession, and his guiding is to try to get Charlotte back by this machine.
Right. And the Charlotte that he's trying to get back is not the Charlotte that's going to be his adopted granddaughter in the other time. And this is trying to get Charlotte, his actual granddaughter, back.
Yep.
And I guess kind of interesting, actually, that both times his granddaughter is Charlotte. So really, like, this other Charlotte that gets dropped off to his doorstep is taking it, it's, yeah, they're like playing the same role. It's almost like an alternate universe Charlotte. Mm-hmm. So then we are in 2040 now. So we've gone even further. And now we're seeing the adult versions of these characters. So we've got adult Noah. You have Claudia looking more gray and more like the old white devil version of Claudia. And we have the stranger Jonas, except he has no facial hair. But it's that same actor. Mm-hmm. And they're very close to creating that black portal, but it still doesn't work. And then we see outside of a shack, we've got Jonas and Noah talking. And Jonas is wondering why it's not working. And Noah is suspicious of Claudia. Now, since Claudia doesn't want it to work, why are we trusting her? Jonas asks Noah, why did Noah trust Adam? And he says, Adam lied to you. So Jonas, even though it's his future self, he still doesn't trust his future self. Obviously, a lot of that probably comes from seeing Adam kill Martha.
Mm-hmm.
And Jonas says that he saw the portal in the future and it does work. And he kind of parrots back what Claudia had said. He said, "We can change it. Claudia told us that the components can change." And Noah points out that Claudia goes missing for days at a time.
Yeah, and also that she said that not all that's there should exist there. What does she mean by that?
Yeah, and what does she mean by that? Do you think it's just about the alternate universe, or do you think it's something else?
No, I think it's just a hint to alternate. That's what I thought, alternate universe.
Yeah. And right at that point, we see Elizabeth, also the older version of Elizabeth, come out. She's now pregnant, very pregnant, and she calls him inside. She calls Noah inside. And so they stop talking. I notice that she has both of her eyes still.
Yep.
In the future, she has a glass eye or her eye is damaged in some way. And we do not see in this episode how that happens.
Nope.
And I thought, you know, I thought this scene also I thought was really interesting because they are in the future, but they're living like they're basically in 1910. You know, they're living in a shack. They have a fire going. Like, they don't have any electricity. They don't have any technology there. They're living like they're in the past.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this was the stuff. I really, really enjoyed the stuff. This especially. Noah's journey throughout this episode. Mm-hmm. All right. So then we get potentially Claudia's switch point. So she's talking to her other self. And this is where she says Jonas has no idea that other worlds exist. So this is the stranger before he's done a lot of traveling. It's Jonas, you know, a little bit older version of Jonas. And she says he has no idea other worlds exist. And you must guide him to keep the knot up in both worlds. So the alternate version of Claudia says you got to keep the knot going in both worlds. And Prime World Claudia asks alternate Claudia if you've met her older self. Mm-hmm. She says no. And she says she's confused that her older self said that if all of this works, Regina will live. But why would her older self tell her that if it just means the things are going to keep repeating endlessly and Regina's going to die?
Yeah, she said, I never thought what she meant by her living endlessly would be endlessly in the suffering.
Because Regina is dead in both worlds, right? So even if Eve's world is the one that's ultimately successful, Regina's dead in that world as well.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think that there's a lot of interaction between older Claudia and younger Claudia that we have not seen yet. And this is what sets this version of Claudia down a path to then shoot her alternate version of herself. Mm-hmm. So she says there must be a way for Regina to really live without dying. She says Adam doesn't know and Eve doesn't know. I noticed in this scene, it seems like both of their eyes are very dark. I was really trying to pay attention to the eye color, especially after you brought it up. Did you notice something different with their eyes?
No, they're both dark.
Okay. So, and they're both the same color, correct?
Yes. Yes. Okay.
So I do wonder if that's going to be a big clue. Because there was talk about Claudia having the hematology, where she has different colored eyes. Mm-hmm. Egon talks about it when she's a kid. So is the kid version of Claudia with the different colored eyes, is that maybe the third Claudia? Or something. So I just don't know.
It has to be almost.
Yeah. But so that's one of those things that's been there the whole time.
Yep.
I also remember too that in the last episode when we're introduced to alternate Claudia, that Eve puts her on her path, she tells her you need to be the eyes. So another line pointing out Claudia's eyes.
Yeah.
So Claudia takes the portal and then goes, and we see her arrive in the alternate world in the future. So I think it's 2040 at this point, but I don't know if we really know. I guess it probably is based on the age of Eve. It's probably 2040. Mm-hmm. And we get a version of Eve that's like somewhere in between the stranger version of Eve and the strange version of Martha and the Eve version of Martha. So she's like, she still has dark hair, but she is the face of Eve. Mm-hmm. And Eve says, is Claudia not coming? So apparently when they've been working together, they've both been going back to Eve's to get information. And that's part of the time when Claudia has been missing, is she's going to the alternate world with her alternate self.
Yeah, you said she got shot, right?
Yes, I did. Okay. Yep. Yeah, so she shoots herself.
Yeah.
Shoots her alternate version of herself. And still, I think this is the only characters that we've seen interact with the alternate version of themselves. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. That we know of, at least.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah, in this alternate world future, this is where the Adam and Eve pictures are all burnt up. We only just see them above the shoulders. And Eve asks, she says, is Claudia not coming? And Prime Claudia, pretending to be alternate Claudia, says, Noah is watching her. We need to be extra cautious. And Eve has the blueprints for the apparatus, which is what Claudia ends up giving to HG in the first season.
Yep.
Setting off that, we did say, like, where did those come from? That bootstrap of the apparatus is created, but it's created by HG, but he gets the blueprints from somewhere, and now we know where those blueprints came from. Mm-hmm. And it does seem like Eve is a little suspicious of Claudia. So I think that this scene on the surface looks like Claudia is pulling the wool over Eve's eyes. I'm not sure if that's the case.
Nope. I think Eve knows what's going on here.
Okay. Because I was like, Eve is...
She like even looks at her as she's like rolling up the blueprint.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. She seems to know something's up. Mm-hmm. And that was where I came back to the one eye is one color, one eye is the other color. Because wouldn't it tie everything together, including the mirroring, if the way she was able to tell which version of Claudia this was because the eyes were flipped? Because then, you know, if it's like blue and brown, if the blue is usually on one side in the prime world and one side on the alternate world, if that is, that's what gives it away.
Oh yeah, could be. I think there's, yeah.
So I think it was the second time I watched it. I'm still confused because when they show them in that scene earlier, that's why I asked if you noticed anything, because it did look like both their eyes were just dark in the same color, but maybe it was the lighting in that scene. It
must be the lighting.
Yeah.
I don't know though, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be a really interesting way to tie in the fact that things are reversed in the alternate world, if that actually led to some sort of reveal.
Yeah.
All right, so then we go to 1910. And this is the scene where Celia is dies giving birth to Agnes. I noticed there was no alternate world transition between the alternate world and 1910.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they just didn't use it because they had the clock transition? This definitely is not in the alternate world, I don't think. Do you?
I didn't think it was, but I didn't really think about it. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure what that was, because this definitely seems like it's the prime world, unless
it's
this all
directing style choice,
right?
Seems like a pretty big choice to
me. Yeah, well, because they've used the alternate world transition throughout the episode. This was the first time that we've gone alternate world to prime world and not used it.
Yeah, maybe this is a sign. Yeah, I don't know.
It could be a sign. The other option I think could just be that we might not see that alternate world switch in addition to the big year switch. So maybe it was just that.
Yeah.
They tell Hanno he must be strong. They say the baby is named Agnes. And Bartosz kind of gets a look like he recognizes the name Agnes, but he hasn't interacted with Agnes at all.
Not that we've seen, but maybe.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe there's some, because he seemed familiar with the name Agnes when it's chosen. Yeah.
Just like with Hanno, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess he knew Hanno was also the name of Noah.
Yeah, and Hanno's so close to Hannah.
That's true. Well, Hanno, how is Hanno connected to Hannah?
Yeah.
Nothing that we know of, but. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hanno Tuber and Hannah Kruger are the two, because Hannah's maiden name was Kruger. Mm-hmm. All right, so I also noted that I guess Bartosz must have changed his name from Tiedemann to Tuber, maybe just because he knew he was going to be stuck in this town and didn't want to use the Tiedemann last name because there were going to be Tiedemanns there eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's true.
Okay. And then... we go to 2041 and we see Noah and Elizabeth, and she asks him to, they're out hanging laundry or something. And she asks Noah to explain paradise once again, much like the scene that we saw in the caves. And he says, it's a place free of pain and suffering. And she's no longer pregnant. And at this point I was like, oh, they do not have their baby with them. Somebody's watching them. And of course this is where Adam sent Elizabeth and Charlotte to steal baby Charlotte.
Yep.
And they sneak in. It's like very heartbreaking to watch. And Elizabeth grabs the baby. First time she's seen her baby since the baby was taken from her many years ago. And leaves behind the pocket watch, which Charlotte grabs.
Yep.
And outside, Noah and Elizabeth have no idea what is going on. And Noah says the passage will open, you and me and Charlotte. And at first I thought maybe he knew what was going on when he said the way he said and Charlotte, but obviously he didn't. And they go inside and they realize that that the baby is gone. At this point, when he goes to leave, Elizabeth makes a whimper noise. So she actually, I think the first time I've ever heard Elizabeth make any noise. Mm-hmm. And he runs off to the bunker, and we get a really, I thought this was like a fantastic scene between between Noah and Jonas.
Yep.
And Noah thinks that this is when Jonas turned on him. And yep. He doesn't realize it was Adam who sent the baby back, but it was this version of Jonas did not do this.
Yep. So he had no idea what he was talking about.
Right. And he's saying, "Where's Charlotte? All these years, I've wondered what you meant about betraying me." And Noah says, "Is Claudia in on this too?" And at the end, he wishes Noah wishes Jonas endless suffering. And then I started thinking about some of the rivalries we've had in the show. So we have, obviously, we started with Bartosz versus Jonas. They were best friends, but then enemies. And Noah is Bartosz's son. So him versus Jonas. And then I even thought through and I thought that Bartosz's grandfather or great-grandfather was Egon. And Jonas's grandfather was Ulrich. So you even could trace that rivalry back to those two as well. It's like these two families have always had a rivalry. And even if we also think if Noah is so worried about Charlotte, well, Noah is Charlotte's great grandson. So with some really good connections with the Tiedemanns and other characters in this show.
Yeah, it's all connected.
Mm-hmm. All right, so then Noah returns home and finds out, lets Elizabeth know that he didn't find her, and he says, "I will find her and I will bring her to us. That is a promise." He grabs the book, and Elizabeth lets out a whimper here. I think she did in both scenes. Mm-hmm. Made some noise. So I noted a couple things in this. One is, where did that book come from?
I don't know.
Yeah, because that book, obviously we see the book throughout and we saw the seed writing it, but you know, do you have any tracking on that book of like who gave it to him, right? Like, I guess maybe Claudia did get it from her older self or from her alternate self, and at some point Noah needed to get this book. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I noticed is we often see that picture of baby Charlotte with her parents. We saw that in the second season when it starts getting revealed that it was Noah and Elizabeth were her parents. Mm-hmm. When did they take this picture? Because there's no technology. They're in like post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah, they must have had some relics from the past.
Yeah.
To take a Polaroid.
Yeah, I guess it was a Polaroid, so they wouldn't have to get it developed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that picture is so similar to the one HG has with his son and daughter-in-law and granddaughter. Oh, what if the alternate... the alternate Noah that we're seeing, the Noah that we're seeing in the alternate world, is HG's son? That work? I guess not really, because it's still Bartosz's son. Mm-hmm. It just parallel quite a bit.
Yeah, I agree.
So, I'm curious if that picture is going to come up at all. Them taking that picture, if we're ever going to see that, if they traveled maybe or something, because they look happy. They don't look like they're in. That they're in like the post-apocalyptic world when that picture was taken. Then we hear old Tannehaus talking, and he says, this is a line that I think we had from maybe the premiere episode of this season. You can choose as you want, but your wants are chosen for you, which I think is a quote that I had misread earlier in the season, but that quote makes a lot more sense. So you can choose as you want, but you're not the one who's choosing your wants. Your wants are determined for you.
Yeah, this is the stuff that reminds me of Devs.
Okay.
It's stuff like this. Stuff talk about paradise reminds me a lot of Devs too.
That makes sense. And like fate and afterlife type stuff.
Just this perfect world for just specifically tailored towards what your idea of perfection is, mm-hmm. not anybody else's. So his, like, you know, Nick Offerman's obsession was his daughter in that show. This, you can fill in the obsession with the character depending on who the character is.
So do you think there could be a paradise for each character maybe? Or are we watching Claudia try to create paradise, HG trying to create paradise?
I think we're watching everybody try to create paradise for themselves and is working against each one of them. Preventing
okay.
anybody's. So I don't know if we see anybody's.
Okay.
I don't know if it's possible.
So then, I just don't know. I think that we're hearing Tannhaus talk about this. And in 1986, we see Tannhaus and he's saying, you know, we're guided by our deepest desires. He starts the machine. And the machine has like a black circle with fire all in it. And then we see the numbers go back from 1986. The aspect ratio changes back to what we're used to. And then it lands on 1911. So
yeah,
it clearly this Tannhaus is using the machine on himself, but I don't think we know where he's sent himself to. Mm-hmm. So it could be that he's in a third world and he sent himself back to... back to become the founder of Sigmundus, or, that's a huge lingering question is where did this Tannhaus go and what's he going to be?
Yep.
So in 1911, we have Bartosz, he's working on the car, sort of reminded me of Biff at the end of Back to the Future. Like he's the rival of Jonas and now he's just like fixing Jonas's car.
It's like a lackey for him.
Right. Exactly. And Hannah arrives. I did not see this coming. I was not even thinking about Hannah at this point. No. So Hannah and Celia arrive, and we had figured out that Hannah was Celia's mom based on that character chart. They arrive. So she's got the suitcase with the machine, and she's looking for Jonas. And Bartosz says that he's changed. Then I also noted at this point that Celia is Bartosz's great-great-grandmother. Mm-hmm. So she's, I'm trying to remember exactly how that connects, but I did make that connection in my head. So Celia's kids are Agnes and Noah, and because Agnes is Tronte's mother and Tronte is Regina's father. That was what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's scarred. We see Adam. It's a version of Adam. He's scarred, but it's a very strange version of Adam. He looks a lot younger to me than just 10 years younger.
Yeah, this looks like a different Adam.
Right. So this version of Adam, he's got the scars, but he's, I don't know if this was the actor who plays the stranger in makeup. It doesn't seem like it was the actor who plays Adam that we're used to.
No.
Looks a lot younger. So maybe he just travels so much in the 10 years between 1911 and 1921 that he ages that much, but definitely seems a lot younger to me.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm going with it. I think that
he, and do you think it's that he ages from as a result of the traveling?
Yeah, he just progressively ages more and more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was kind of bummed that we didn't get to see like one moment that changes the stranger into Adam.
Maybe we will.
Yeah, that's true. I thought maybe when we saw him get zapped on the arm that was going to start being the moment.
It's a little preview.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little foreshadowing to that. But then we go right from that to him being scarred up and having no hair.
Yeah, I still think there's going to be a particular trip or moment or something figures out when the real big change happens, I think.
Mm-hmm. So let's see. So it's... Then Hannah introduces Celia to Adam and says, Celia is your sister. And I mean, I know that we knew Celia was Hannah's daughter. I did not put it together that Celia was Adam's sister.
Yeah.
And that changes a lot of things because that makes Noah Jonas's nephew, makes Bartosz Jonas's son-in-law. Mm-hmm. Brother-in-law.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, just makes more like just further knots up this character chart, obviously. An already very tied up character chart. I mean, really, if you take Agnes as Celia's daughter, Tronte is Agnes's son, Ulrich is Tronte's son, and Mikkel is Ulrich's son. Mikkel is Jonas's father. So his sister is also his like super great grandmother.
Yeah, and his family tree is a circle.
Right. I was just looking. I'm looking at the seed. So the seed and Agnes are somebody's parents, correct? I believe that the seed and Agnes end up being somebody's parents, and I do not remember who now. And I have it on my. Oh, the seed and Agnes. Sorry, the seed and Agnes are Tronte's parents. That's what it is. I knew Agnes was the mother of somebody. We're pretty sure the seed, the three ninjas, is Tronte's father.
Okay.
That's what it is. Yep. So even with as much work as we do and as many notes as we take, this is still super confusing.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So Adam asks, how did you find us? And Hannah says, an old woman on my doorstep. Now, Hannah says that it's Eve. Do you think it's Eve or do you think it could be Claudia?
Claudia posing as Eve.
Yeah, Claudia posing as Eve. After the first watch, I thought it was definitely Claudia. Then when Hannah says that it's Eve, then I wondered if maybe it was actually Eve. I think this is a scene we're going to have to see in the next episode. I think she probably needed to give Hannah the material to use the machine. Because I bet Hannah was living in 1950 with her, you know, she had the daughter in the 1950s, and then her daughter's, you know, what, like 10 years old. So it's probably like 1960 or so when some old woman shows up at her doorstep, gives her the material to use the machine and says, Jonas needs you, go back in time to 1921 to visit him.
Yeah. I think we'll see this next episode.
Yeah. All right. So, the old woman said that Jonas needed her. Hannah, it seems like is really accepting blame in this. She says that this is all her fault and she's compassionate towards Adam. At this point, did you realize Adam was going to kill her?
No. I mean, like, I was kind of realizing, yeah, I guess, like,
Yeah. I thought, like, the way the music was going and the way he was acting towards her, it was like, oh, yeah, he's not going to let Hannah live. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm kind of have mixed feelings on how Hannah met her end, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, so, okay, so then, yeah, so the next scene, you know, Bartosz gets a room ready for them, and the next scene is them sleeping, and Adam comes in there with a lantern, and then Adam kills her, because he says all the pieces must be in the correct place.
Yep, Celia's not right here.
Yeah, Celia's not right here. So that repeats what we've heard. You know, we're not right together. We're perfect. Like, it's always like we're not right or something's perfect. So what are your thoughts on Hannah being killed?
I mean, it just like I don't know. We've been waiting for her to die for so long, and it just kind of.
She didn't die in the lake.
Just kind of happened. Yeah. I mean, just like put his hand over her mouth and like she died after a few seconds.
Mm-hmm. She just thought it was like anticlimactic.
A little bit. Yeah. If I'm being honest, I don't think they kind of, I guess like every death can't be just Shakespearean dramatic death, but that was
right.
Just like, oh,
okay. Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I feel like just the fact that it was like a son murdering his mother, I think makes it definitely have a lot more gravity.
Yeah, it just didn't hit for
Jonas
me.
Our Jonas has come. Right. Yeah.
It doesn't happen too often in this show for me.
But yeah, it can't be perfect. That's good. It's good to like point those things out.
Mm-hmm.
If only he had killed her in the lake, you would have been much more into it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly.
And actually, if he would have drowned her in the lake, that would have been long enough that the lore would have made sense of the woman drowned in the lake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just like, at first I was like, did he just like have her pass out? Did he really kill her? But he killed her.
Yeah, and he killed her.
She's like, she's dead. Mm-hmm. He does the whole movie thing where they do the eye thing, where they close eyes for him.
Yeah, well, Adam is it seems like Adam is evil, but he's conflicted. He thinks he's doing all this stuff in service of this greater paradise. So in his eyes, probably that, you know, by killing Hannah, there will be a time when him and Hannah can be happy in paradise together, maybe.
Yeah, and then he tells Celia he wants to show her a secret.
Mm-hmm. And at this point, I said, maybe Celia is much more of the key than we realized in all of this.
Hey, I've been saying.
You have. Because one thing that, again, I did not put together at all is Celia is not only Jonas's sister, Celia is also Claudia's sister.
Yeah, that seems pretty key.
Yeah. So she's the tie between Claudia and Jonas, as well as the tie to Bartosz. Yeah, I think Celia is going to play a big role in the finale.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think the way that they've worked with her character has really, like, they've doled it out so slowly. I do wish we knew her name was Celia somehow sooner, just to, like, I feel like it was, because so many people knew that her name was Celia, it probably was in the credits, but they never actually introduced her.
Mm-hmm.
And then looking back at those scenes at the beginning of season two, where she's helping Jonas travel through time, it just recolors a lot of that.
Yeah.
And I guess that's how Adam knew that Celia wasn't right there, because he knew Celia from the future. Do you think that's what he knew about her, that she needed to go to the future?
Yep.
Yeah. So Adam tells her he's going to show her a secret. I think this is another thing we need to see. We need to see where Adam is taking her, and where they're going to end up. Then in 1920, we have people playing cards that looks like that's Erna's place.
Yep.
And older Noah walks in. The first question I had is, how did he travel there? Because we didn't see that future version of anybody having access to time travel.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe the passage was open, but he went pretty far back for the passage.
He didn't have one of the balls?
Well, that version of Noah didn't. Claudia does, but the balls also only take you to alternate worlds. It doesn't time travel you.
That's right.
So he would have had to have either like the device, the apparatus, the passage maybe, but doesn't seem like the passage can just go anywhere. And in general, I think that this Noah that we're seeing seems very confused and doesn't talk very much. And on the rewatch, I was wondering if maybe we're supposed to think that this is the Noah that lost Charlotte in the future, but maybe this is actually the alternate universe Noah.
He does look a little off.
Yeah, he's just like, the way he's acting is not the way Noah's acted a lot of this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good theory.
Yeah, because otherwise I don't know how he would have traveled there from where he was.
Yeah.
And then so Erna calls to Hanno and has Hanno come down to get him a room. So another character is being ordered to set up a room for somebody. And I believe that this is probably the moment that in the first season Noah talks about with Helge, where he said a strange man came in and at night he was having nightmares and told me about them and kind of put me on my way. Do you remember that conversation from the first season?
Yeah.
So I believe that that's this. I wonder if we'll see that any more of that. I would think that there's something off about this Noah.
Yeah.
So then he goes to Adam's underground lair. So at some point between 1911 and 1920, Adam moves from Tannhaus's machine shop to this underground bunker. Not really underground bunker, underground office, I guess. And Noah enters and Adam says, Noah enters and he says, I know you thought I took, Adam says, I know you thought I took Charlotte and lied to you. I didn't. And I don't think through any of this, Noah really talks. Adam tells him Claudia did and asks Noah if he has the book. And he does. And he talks about how the book has the pages torn out of the end of it. So this is again where I'm like, this book, like, when did the, you know, all these versions of the pages being ripped out? Like, how does he know all of this stuff? Where did the book, you know, what journey has the book taken?
Yep.
So Adam tells Noah that Helge will help you. And he tells him this trip will be your last cycle in time. He also gives him a Bible. Yep. And this was when, after basically Noah doesn't talk between both of these, that I was like, huh, we saw a version of Noah in the alternate world. And he introduced young Noah and Elizabeth to each other in the bunker. But we don't know any more about that alternate version of Noah, and maybe this is alternate Noah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
So, yeah, I think that will be something that will be interesting to watch. Now, I guess, you know, that version of Noah, the alternate Noah, seems like he's also really in love with baby Charlotte as his daughter. So I guess in both worlds, he has a baby Charlotte that he's got a connection to.
Yeah, that would make sense.
All right, so then in 2052, we see, you know, we're finally back up to the timeline where we were at the end of season one. 2052, in the bunker, Claudia says that the material can finally be stabilized, but everything must happen as it always has. So she's telling the stranger that, you know, she's setting him down his path and saying that everything that you always did has to happen just the way it did. This is clearly her setting kind of her pieces in motion as well. She says, lead your younger self down the same path. She gives him the book about HG and says he'll repair the apparatus. We'll destroy the passage, and this time it will work. And then after he leaves, Claudia rips out the last few pages of the book. So I guess that this book, this is where I'm confused what happens with the book. But we know that Claudia has those pages that she carries around that eventually Noah will see. Mm-hmm. So, and yeah, this is where we get to the end of kind of that 2020 to 2052. Like, how do we get to the future? And we've seen most of the things that lead us there, and we've seen that evolution through this episode. We get our traditional dark montage now, but this time we actually are getting dialogue over the montage. I don't think we've ever gotten dialogue over the montage. So we see Noah in the chair. We see Claudia and older Claudia. So it's all of these moments from, like, it's like the greatest hits of Dark.
Yeah.
Through the last couple seasons. We've got the stranger. He's writing on the map and giving it to Jonas in his room. We see Noah inviting his father, a young version of his father, Bartosz, into the car to give him the book and tell him the different things that are going to happen in the future. And really, like, all of this montage, we are seeing the different ways that both Jonas and Claudia have set themselves on a path that is leading them towards this point. You see Claudia and Egon, both old Claudia with young Egon and old Egon with young Claudia. We see Noah then shooting Claudia. We see him reading the pages in the book about how Charlotte, that can't be true. That's not true about Charlotte. We see Hannah and the stranger. We see Noah and Charlotte together. Noah telling Charlotte that he's her father. We see Claudia reconnecting with Regina. We see Jonas watching himself at the lake with Martha. We see the moment when Agnes kills Noah. We see young Noah entering the bunker. We see Hanno entering the bunker. And we see Adam, and he says, we've come full circle, which I do think, like, you could apply we've come full circle to just about every character that we're seeing at this point. Mm-hmm. And then we start seeing the dead bodies. We see Martha. And then finally we close with Martha and Bartosz going into the alternate world together and traveling there.
Yep.
So I didn't have any questions really about any of that, but I was wondering, what is it that Noah is reading on those last pages that can't be true? Something about Charlotte, but
yeah.
Do you have any sense of what that could be?
Maybe that she's what causes the, I don't know.
Like, could it just be that she's Elizabeth's mother? Is that what it is? Or that she's been there the whole time and he didn't realize? I don't even think, like, when we saw it in season two that it was very clear. I feel like we had the same questions.
Mm-hmm. It may just be that he was doing all the searching all the time and she was there.
Mm-hmm. And then Adam, I guess.
He spent his whole life and that he feels everybody lied to him.
Yeah. And maybe it's that he's been trusting Adam. Like, he came back to trust Adam. Mm-hmm. And it was Adam actually did betray him. Adam actually was the one who took Charlotte. Because Adam sent Charlotte and Elizabeth back to take baby Charlotte.
Yep. I think that could be it.
Yeah. But the thing is it does seem like that there was a reason for that, because by doing that, by sending those two back, which we saw a couple episodes ago, he did that in order to get a baby to HG so HG wouldn't work on his own version of the time machine and send himself somewhere. So it does seem like that was a very important switch point, going back to those switch points.
Mm-hmm. But he's just looking at it from his own perspective, maybe.
Noah is?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that scene makes sense if that's the alternate Noah, but maybe that would clear something up if it does end up being alternate Noah. Mm-hmm. All right, so then we have two scenes after the montage. So the first is in the alternate world. We have the Eve's future headquarters. Bartosz and Martha enter, and Martha is still, you know, she's just recently seen Jonas be killed and says they're the only ones who will save us. And Eve says the ones who we despise the most are the ones who are most like us. And Eve says something similar to what Adam said to young Jonas. She says, I've lived my whole life believing I'd never turn into my future self. And I could never get to how I could want what she wants. 66 years later, I get it. Some pain is never forgotten, which I think is the same thing that Adam said to Jonas after he kills Martha.
Yep.
So they really are very similar, Adam and Eve, which obviously very intentional. Mm-hmm. And she pulls out a knife and she says, some pain brands us. And then she, and I said, we got to get the scar here. Yeah, really a bold prediction by me that we're going to get her eye scar. And of course, that's what we get. She slices her across the face, says, this is a memento, so you will never forget which side you were on. By choosing us, you choose life. So I guess that is true, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, by choosing us, you choose life, because if she had not gone with Bartosz and she had not joined their side, she would have been potentially killed by Adam in the next scene. I guess we don't know yet. So in 2053, Adam and Martha, he's putting her through the, I guess you can call it like the time travel machine abortion, basically trying to get rid of the baby. And it finishes, and Martha is gone. And Adam, if for the first time, I thought this actor did a great job, because for the first time we're seeing this character look like confused about what's going on. Like he seems very surprised and confused for the first time that we've ever seen him, like not in control at all.
Yeah, he felt like Dr. Evil here, where like he thought his plan was going through and then he like closes his eyes like, here it comes, and then he's like, wait, I'm still here. He looks at his hands, he's like they're supposed to disappear in front of his eyes or something.
Mm-hmm. Looks like I think he was expecting everything to just like go, everything was going to be transported to paradise because he killed the baby.
But not so fast.
Not so fast.
Claudia.
Yep, not so fast, Adam. And Claudia walks in and she doesn't say hello, Adam. She says, hello, Jonas. And it is old Claudia. And she walks in. So.
And scene.
And that's the end of the penultimate episode.
Yeah.
And we already covered this, but you think that this is old Claudia before she's murdered by Noah?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I wondered if there could be like a third Claudia, maybe, was my only thought. And this is like an older version of Claudia that's not the one who, like a switch point, you know, a mm-hmm. version of Claudia that took a different path. And this version of Claudia was never murdered by Noah.
That could be too. I'm going to go with all three.
Yeah. So when she's killed by Noah, she already knows that she's completed whatever she was trying to complete.
She was so at peace, yeah.
Yeah, she did seem very at peace when he killed her.
It was already done, yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's the episode. We talked for so long that I think my mouse went to sleep. And probably my legs are asleep as well. How are you doing after all of that? That was a lot.
I feel good. I felt like, for how confusing this was, or how much was in this episode, I felt like there's been more confusing episodes this season. Mm-hmm. So I just think it really did a good job of setting things up. The things that we don't know about, we're still not supposed to know about, I believe. I don't think we're missing too much at this point. But, you know, there's obviously some things some people will pick up on that we're not picking up on.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it does seem like there's a lot of moments that, like you said, there's no fat in this show. Like, And they do a good job too with like some of the things where they're set up, like, you know where the scenes are going. So it allows them to kind of shortcut and not spend a ton of time like introducing Celia and Bartosz or, you know, showing the baby being born, because like you get the point. Like, this is the baby born, it's Noah, and the mother's, you know, or I guess when Agnes is born, the mother dies.
Yeah, exactly.
So I have a whole bunch of things written down that are like loose threads still for the finale, if you're good to go through some of those.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So I'll list some things and you tell me, like, if you have any thoughts on where it could be or if it's something you think we'll get or not get. Like, just give me your commentary on it as I list them.
Okay.
All right. The first one, do you think that we're going to get the scene when the stranger turns into Adam?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think it'll be like one big moment? Like, do you think it's going to be like a big, like maybe he does something that like he interacts with Mikkel, for example, or like, so, I don't know, something that like
something really significant.
Yeah. Something significant.
It's going to scar him both physically and on a spiritually, emotionally foundational character level.
Mm, okay. What about, we do not know where he sent Agnes. We know Celia got sent back to be with Bartosz, but we don't know where Agnes was sent.
Yeah, we gotta get Agnes. I'm so waiting for Agnes answers.
Yeah, we have a lot of things about Agnes. Not only where he sent her, but we also know that it somehow, you know, she needs to be Trante's mother. And we're assuming that that's with the seed, but we don't know that for sure.
Yep.
So we need to find that out. We need to find where they were running from, you know, when her and Trante come to Winden in the first place.
Alexander is another person I'm curious about.
Yep, Alexander. And maybe it's the kind of thing where even when Agnes shot Noah and Adam says, you've chosen the correct side, she didn't seem like she was totally with Adam when she did that. She seemed a little hesitant. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if some of these characters, Alexander, Agnes, Francisca and Magnus, maybe like Claudia also has her own team of people, much like we saw Adam and Eve having their own team.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think, you know, Francisca and Magnus being completely absent from this episode, is that's got to be intentional to me.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see some other things. Do you think we're going to get more Celia in the next episode?
Maybe, but also she may be done.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she's got to get to the future, and we know Adam said he was going to show her a secret. Maybe the secret was just the time passage and was going to get her to the future.
Yeah, maybe we see it a little bit, but I don't think she's as much of a part of the episode as this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder if Elizabeth and her, because I guess they seem like they were about the same age, correct, mm-hmm. when we see them in the future. So it wouldn't be that like she raises Celia as a child.
Mm. I mean, she seemed old enough to have raised Celia, actually.
Yeah, that's true. I guess she doesn't look old, but I guess she must be pretty old at that point.
Yeah, I think she'd be old enough to raise Celia. Celia was a young for sure.
Well, and I do wonder if maybe Adam taking Celia, I mean, it could all be the same thing. Maybe Adam takes Celia to the future and gives her to Elizabeth, and something happens, and when that happens, Elizabeth loses her eye. And Adam becomes more scarred.
Yeah.
Because it does seem like the Elizabeth eye thing, if it was just that Elizabeth, you know, had a glass, like you would think that, you know, that like the fact that a version of Elizabeth we saw in this episode has both of her eyes intact, it seems like there must be some event that still hasn't happened yet.
Yep. That could be.
And we also see, you know, that version of Tannhaus, the old Tannhaus, his eyes are like that as well.
Yep.
And it could just be a way of showing blindness, but it's the same effect on the eyes.
I agree.
All right. So a couple other things I wrote down, some alternate universe stuff. So we have alternate Noah. We don't really know much else about him. And alternate Noah / Hanno and Elizabeth as well. We don't really know what purpose any of them are serving.
Yep.
Do you think we're going to see alternate Ulrich going back to the 80s following Helge? Because in the last episode he went through the caves.
Yeah, then that would make sense.
Yeah, because I think that we have to see, I don't know how we even go to that, because it does seem very small compared to everything else going on, but him going back there would allow for us to see, you know, why Helge thinks that Ulrich was dead.
Mm-hmm. And what he had to stop Ulrich from doing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Because he said, didn't Helge say she told me I had to move the babies? Or not move the babies, but, you know, kidnap the kids. He said she in the last episode.
I think so. Yeah.
And now that we know, Claudia is much more of a mastermind than we thought.
Yeah. It's not necessarily.
Yeah. Could have been Claudia. Mm-hmm. Which could be a good way to show that, to show where Ulrich and Helge are going, while also showing how Claudia is involved. Alternate Hannah's baby. We need to see that. She went into childbirth and Egon saved her for some reason.
We need to see what Egon does.
Right. Do you think alternate Hannah's baby is going to be Celia? Like alternate Celia?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right, so I have a couple other things. Where did HG go with his machine?
I would think back to where his family was, so the past.
Back to the past?
Yep, try to bring his family back to life.
Like the 70s, you mean?
Like before or 60s, try to bring them. Like before go to a dead. Point before they're dead to bring them back to life.
Do you think we're going to see any more about what happened in 1986? The event that these the three ninjas caused.
I hope so.
Yeah, I would hope so. Because we saw them do it, but we've heard it referenced a lot. But I don't know if we'll see more. It seems like a lot happened in that 1986, including Alexander. I believe that was also when Alexander murdered the people, and that was a quote unquote accident.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the thing that set all of this off is the children disappearing. So Mikkel disappearing, obviously, Mads disappearing, Helge being, you know, put in the chair. Do you think we're going to find out more about the chair? I mean, we saw the chair in the montage, and we really haven't gotten much more about the chair in a few seasons.
Nah, I don't think so.
You don't think we get any more of the chair?
No, I can't say yes to everything, or else this is going to be like a 10-hour episode.
Well, that's true, but we got so much in this episode, and this was only 1 hour and 7 minutes.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah.
These are
just all of my, like, open questions. I just, like, when this episode ended, I wrote down all kinds of things that I was like, oh, what about this? What about this? Mm-hmm. What about, what is Helge's role in all this?
Yeah, we're definitely getting that.
Yeah. Because, like, there just seems like there's a lot more to Helge that we just don't know.
Yeah, and he was brought up in this episode again.
Mm-hmm. And Peter too. I mean, I think there's more to Peter as well in both the young version of Peter in the Prime World, but then alternate Peter. I don't know. I guess we don't know if alternate Peter died during the apocalypse in the alternate world.
Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah. All right, and then the parentage loose ends that we still have, the ones at least that I could think of, is who is Trante's father? Who is Katarina's father, and who are Hannah's parents?
Yeah. I don't have any thoughts on any of those. Do you have any thoughts?
Well, Trante's father could be I think we think it's probably the seed.
Yeah, yeah.
But we don't know that for sure. I mean, especially the way Agnes said that he's a man of God, but wasn't a good man, does lead us to think
and
that.
The seed brings up that he was a man of God a long time ago.
Right.
And he doesn't have a name, so it'd be hard to identify him.
Right, exactly. That's what I mean. We can't even identify him.
Yep.
And, you know, Katarina's father, I know we had the person who said maybe the sheep farmer. I don't know how much more Katarina we're getting, really. I mean, she's dead in both worlds now.
Yeah.
I think her story might be told at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I also think probably old Ulrich's story is told. I don't know if we're going to see him again.
Yeah, I hope so, though.
And I guess on that note, we also don't know who Jonna's parents are. We see her, but we don't know how she's connected to any of this. And then Hannah's parents, we know her father, Kruger. He's like he has the laundry service, but I don't think we have any more information on him.
Nope.
So, all right. And then the other thing I have written down is I said all the intros, which we did discuss all of the intros. And finally, what do we have to see? Is there anything you have to see in the finale that you really want to make sure you see that we haven't yet seen?
I don't think so. I know it's not a very exciting answer for me, but wherever they show they're supposed, I trust that. I, at this point, I just can't think of a specific thing I need to say that.
Yeah, well, there's so many of them, so it would make sense.
Yeah, it's really hard to say. I'd like to know the origins of the book, and I want to know where HG goes to with his time machine.
Yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense, too, because, like, they open the episode with HG with him talking about Schrodinger's cat. I wonder if you know, we talked about it at the very beginning of this podcast, but I wonder if there's the poison is going to end up coming into play.
Schrodinger's cat. It's a huge part of Schrodinger's cat and Romeo and Juliet.
Right. Yep. Romeo, that's a good point. That does Adam drink some poison thinking he's, I don't know. Yeah. Could we get like a Romeo and Juliet type ending between Adam and Eve?
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. No, I do think however it winds up is going to be really good. I think, you know, it would make a lot of sense if we're building towards some Adam and Eve. Like, Adam and Eve have to have a scene together. I think that's the one thing that we haven't had yet that we need.
Yeah, I guess that would be the thing. Yeah.
So we need Adam and Eve together. So maybe they'll be together in Paradise, which is the name of the... Well, the name of the next episode is The Paradise.
No, is that okay?
That's what Netflix said. The Paradise, so refers to a specific place. You know, maybe we'll find out how Waller lost his eye.
Yeah, maybe.
Do you think that ship has sailed, or do you think we get to see that?
They may just toss it in there.
I mean, it'd be nice. I think everybody would be happy. It's some nice, you know, it's like fan service. I feel like.
Yeah, they may toss it in there along the way.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So we will be back after we watch that. I think. I don't know if we're going to watch in tomorrow or Monday. I think we'll see when we both watch it. Feedback. The only email we have on this episode is from Rashawn Jones. And he says, episode 7, maybe my favorite episode of the entire series so far. Wow. What a journey. I had to pause and rewind multiple times, but it was very epic to me.
Yeah.
That sums it up. I totally agree.
Yeah, I agree. The last few episodes have been completely in stride, which seems to be what the show does every season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It kind of winds it up and then unleashes it towards the middle end of the season.
That's true. Yeah, I think every season that we've covered, we've said the back half of the season, like so much happened. You know, I mean, every episode a ton happens, but the back half is just very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, we have some other emails I think that will... After we watch the finale, we can do some of these other feedback emails, but, oh, here's a good one actually. All right. So the question is about the Sic Mundus picture, and this is from Daniel Hackett. And he says, in the Sic Mundus picture, the people that we recognize from there are, Adam, Noah, Agnes, Tannhaus, the old man Tannhaus, Magnus, Francisca, and Bartos. But he said there are still 6 other people in the picture. Do you have any ideas of who some of those other people could be? He thought maybe Erna or Celia could be in there.
Yeah, Erna, Celia, Peter.
Oh, Peter.
Yeah. So
you think that Peter's going to end up coming back, like somehow going back?
Yeah.
Like the kid, sure. Peter, like the kid Peter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that the Tannhaus who gets in that machine probably goes back and is the one talking about he takes that machine back, and I think he's the one who invents Sic Mundus. So what we're seeing in those scenes where he's in the bunker with the machine is actually he goes back and then talks about his idea for Sic Mundus.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Yeah, I can't think of anybody else who could be in there in Sic Mundus, but there were, you know, there's 20 seats, so maybe we'll see the founding of Sic Mundus in the next episode. That would be cool. All right, so that's going to wrap it up. Yeah, we will be back with our finale recap. So if you watch the finale in the next day or two, definitely email us with your thoughts on the finale if you have any specific feedback, digestingdarkpod@gmail.com. And even if we get that email in late, we are going to do some feedback stuff and try to get some more after the show is over content, whether it's like going back on a rewatch at some point or just kind of digesting what we saw. Because there is only one episode of Dark left.
Yep.
And of course, you can tweet at us. Let us know after you finish the finale. Don't spoil it, though. Don't spoil anything in the finale for us until we've finished it. But, you know, overall, let us know your excitement or pre-excitement. If you want to let us know before you watch the finale, what are you hoping to see? What's the one thing you're hoping to see? You can tweet at both of us. I'm at Brooks ZA.
And I'm at Aaron JAY Brooks.
All right. And we will be back with season 3, episode 8, the dark series finale that we know of. It is called The Paradise. We'll see you next time.
See ya.